I know, but you might want to take her with you. Yeah. All right, everybody. Hello. Let's get started today. If you're, oh my gosh, y'all can't really see what's going on in the room, but Lakita has been trying to shred these curtains behind me, and now Chris is chasing her all over the room, trying to catch her and get her out. Oh, it's a hot mess up in here. Okay, I'll see you later, babe. Bye. All right, let me get all my screens set up. It's never a dull moment in the Crabtree House, I'm telling you. We are going to be talking today all about your vacation party protocols. I want to just kind of explain a little bit about what a protocol is first, just in case you are newer to us. This is not a concept that we necessarily teach inside the program. Hang on one second. Take that thing off, because now she's playing with that wooden thing on the other side of the door. For some reason today, Lakita has decided that it is playtime during my call, and she only wants to play around where I'm at, so she's a nut. All right, so I want to talk about the protocol theory and what it is so that you guys can use it as a part of making your weight loss a lot easier. And we used to teach protocols a long time ago inside of No BS. It was one of those things that it's helpful. It's in some of the programs. So like if you take our Handling the Holidays course, we talk about protocols in there. In the summer reset, we gave you some versions of this, of protocols. But one of the things is it's not necessarily inside the actual No BS weight loss course. And it's not in there for a really good reason. When you're first starting or you're resetting and stuff, it's really more about really learning those fundamentals, because I want you to think that weight loss is easy. So we want to have what we call ways to lose weight that fit like 90% of life. Like, you know, if you are stressed or you're anxious, you can always ask, am I hungry? You can always ask, have I had enough? You know, drinking water and getting sleep is perfect things to be doing while you're trying to lose weight and while your life is stressful and while you're, you know, not sleeping well or you're anxious or whatever. And then also making a plan. We want to have that daily plan for a lot of us when we're, you know, some of us are really good at being able to kind of zone back, take a look at the landscape, create overall plans, and then honor those. But for a lot of people, and this was me when I was losing my 100 pounds, I really had to think each day just in the day. Like if I got carried away thinking about my weight loss and what was going to happen in, you know, 2 years from now, a year from now, months from now, if I thought about 100 pounds I had to lose, if I thought about the next 50, I immediately got overwhelmed. I immediately couldn't do things as well. Everything seemed like I needed to do big things. I needed to do all the things. And what I learned is when I focused on each day, it was a lot easier for me to grasp the concept that if today I make just these changes, I'm not going to worry about what I've done in the past, and I'm not going to worry about what's coming up in the future. I'm really going to be thinking about what's going to happen today. Weight loss got a lot easier for me, because it naturally overrode that part of my brain that was like, but you should be doing this and you should be doing that. It's like, no, like today, this is what I need to do. And today, this is what I can do. And if every single day I was like really, really focused on today, here's the demands. Today, here's what I'm capable of. Here's the forward progress I can make today. Tomorrow may be different. Maybe I can do more tomorrow. Maybe I only can do less tomorrow. It doesn't matter. What really matters is today. That's why I teach you the 24-hour plan. Because what the 24-hour plan does is it narrows your focus. It makes you think about what is the best thing I can do for myself just today so that I can free myself from the worry of what's going to happen in the future, all the things I should be doing. It allows me to use that, what we call the compound effect. And the compound effect is simply tiny moving forward each and every day. It adds up. In fact, I was writing something this morning about compound effects. And one of the things that I was thinking about was how, if I was to say, if you added up little quits every single day, so like today I decided to eat an extra couple of bites, and then today I decided not to work out, and today I decided to lay down instead of taking a walk, and today I decided to shortcut my sleep a little bit to, finish the errand or finish the duties and the chores and stuff. You would probably agree with me that if you spent the next year doing that, well, that would add up. I could see easily how that would make me gain weight, how that would, not form habits, all these things. But then when I tell you, like today, what if today we are only going to do this? What if today we're just going to walk for 5 minutes instead of sitting on our ass for 5 minutes? Today we're actually going to drink the extra glass of water rather than saying, like, well, if I can't drink it all, what does it matter? I'll just go grab my diet soda again. What if today we left behind two bites instead of going ahead and eating them because we always do? The compound effect works in both ways. Little shits out add up, and little things that you do also add up. So when I'm like thinking about how do we make weight loss as super simple for you as possible, that 24-hour plan is really important, not because it tells you what to eat, but because it keeps you focused. It gives you a chance every single day to think about where can you meet yourself? What can you do today? What are you ready to level up and what are you not ready to level up? What do you need to scale back on today? Because it's going to be a harder day than usual. It just allows you to stay really focused on day-to-day decision-making processes, because your day-to-day decision-making processes is what will lose your weight. Now, protocols are one of those things that we establish when we are thinking about, all right, I notice patterns. And there are just times when things are harder, they're unexpected, shit hits the fan. These are the times where I know I might not even be able to make a 24-hour plan, but these are the repeat offenders in my life that in the past I have used as an excuse to say, this is why I can't lose weight. So a protocol is where we're going to think now about those 10% times that we say, if this wasn't happening, it'd be so much easier to lose weight. If I just didn't have a period, if I didn't have migraines, if I didn't have to work late, if I didn't get stuck at the baseball field, if I didn't have chronic pain, if I insert your bullshit here. Now, I'm not saying that stuff is bullshit, like not real. It is a bullshit excuse because here's what I know. I've been working with y'all for well over 15 years, and I think we're at year 17. And everybody thinks their stuff that happens routinely in their life is somehow a reason to quit, a reason that they can't lose weight, instead of this is your life. If it happens over and over again, you can't keep using it as an excuse. Now you have to make it a part of weight loss. It's your fucking life. Just like with me, I take a lot of trips, business and pleasure. If I say I can't keep my weight off because I travel, 30, 40% of the year, I'm an idiot. Just a fucking idiot at that point, because it's like that's called your life, not an obstacle. Now, what you got to have is a protocol. So I build out a vacation protocol. I have a business trip protocol. When I was having periods, oh God, y'all, it's all knock on wood. Last month was the first month I hadn't had one. I'm like, baby Jesus in the golden diaper, let this be the moment that menopause is coming. I'm ready to retire that part of my life. I know I got 11 more to go before I can officially say ding dong, the witch is dead. But, Hope springs eternal over here in the Crabtree house. So, when I was having my periods, I still have one just in case it comes back, but a period protocol. Like, everybody uses their period as an excuse to not be able to lose weight. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You got one every month. Seems to reason that we have to build this into the weight loss thing. How are you going to show up for your period? What are you going to eat and not eat on your period? Are you going to like build in some chocolate? Like for me, my period protocol always was the same. I am a meat eater through and through. I love my meat. I've loved my meat since I was little. Little. I was always the one that I was like, oh, let's go to a steak restaurant. If I could get a steak, I just thought, oh, Lord. My brother was not. My brother was always like candy. If we were getting a treat, JoJo always wanted to go to the convenience store and load up on candy. I always wanted to go someplace where I could get like meat. So, on my protocol, though, I had a huge aversion to meat. All I wanted was carbs. I mean, like fruits, vegetables, meat turned my stomach for 2 days on my period. So instead of going like, well, I can't lose weight, I might as well just eat all the things. This period's too fucking hard. I just crave too many sweets. I crave too many carbs. And then eating my fucking face off for a few days in give up land, in the land of fuck it eating. It's like no more vacations there. I decided, all right, when my period hits, I don't eat any meat. I don't eat any vegetables. I don't eat any fruits. I just have a protocol that says, here are like all the foods you likely will crave. Let's put those on the plan. Let's remind ourselves it's okay. And we're going to use doable hunger with it. Even if your appetite spikes, then eat five little meals. But the protocol's purpose is to take all of those normal things that happen in your life, every one of them. Nobody's life is that unpredictable. But most of the time, if you look at your discovery worksheet, if you look at your life and say, if this wasn't happening, I could lose weight, that's called your life. That's not like I gotta wait until I guess I divorce my husband because my husband doesn't, support me when it comes to losing weight. It's like, no, you gotta have a protocol for when your husband is trying to give you diet rules, tell you what to do. Have a protocol for those days. Change your fucking thinking and attitude about it. If that's your life, then lose weight because of it, not I don't lose weight because of it. So, a protocol is real simple. It is taking these common occurrences that happen in your life and you write down in some detail about who you want to be and how you want to show up for it. That's it. And I'm going to tell all of you, we have some templates for you, but the key to the protocol isn't it's super strict. The key to the protocol is it just thinks about all the things you're going to need during these special circumstances. So examples of times we're going to need protocols are, especially during the summer, is you may want to have a vacation one. If you like if your neighbors constantly are inviting you over to sit on the back porch and have booze or whatever it is every night at 6 o'clock, you need a protocol for that. If you are going to be taking family vacations, like sometimes, like, Chris and I, we're at that stage in life where we can just go on vacation by ourselves. But I have a big family trip coming up in August. It's going to be us, all my family, plus what we call our family friends. So one of our newest team members here is Lori. And she's working for us now. She's only been here a few weeks, but she's been a client of mine since 2007. And we have become like really good friends. Her and her husband, me and Chris. In fact, she's going to be at my 50th birthday party. Like she's coming to Vegas with us. And so we're going to be with them plus all my family. So there is just going to be food and booze and all the things going. When I take a family trip, I have a very different protocol than the type of protocol that I have when I'm going just to Vegas, where I always go with Chris. So you just want to be thinking about Like if you have kids at home, you might want to have a protocol for the summer when your kids are at home versus in school. If you take them to the pool regularly, I just want you to think about it this way. What are these things that come up that I usually say are going to derail me in losing weight? And instead say, how can I make weight loss possible when these things happen? What can I do for myself? And what can I do? What can I say? What kind of guidelines do I want to give myself? Like someone just said, what do you do to lose weight on vacation? You make a vacation protocol. You decide ahead of time the things that you're going to eat and the things that you're not in a big zoned out way. So like when I go to Vegas, one of my easiest protocols is my Vegas protocol. I know the restaurant we're going to eat at every morning for breakfast. We've been eating at the same fucking place forever. It's called Veranda. It's at the Four Seasons in Las Vegas. Delicious food if you're ever there. I highly recommend. So we go there every day, and that's where we have our brunch before we go to the pool. So my protocol while I'm in Vegas is I'm going to work out every day, every day. Now, sometimes that workout is going to the gym and actually lifting my weights. But let's just be honest here. Not every day do I feel amazing while I'm in Vegas. So on said days where we may have been up too late in the evening before, which doesn't happen as often as it used to, but protocol still stands. On those days, I at least go walking. And I have two places I go walking. One is there is a, I don't walk the strip anymore. There's too much dope smoking going on first thing in the morning. And half the time when I try to walk the strip, the escalators aren't working. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Prince's stair days are just like, I don't want to do stairs anymore. Like, I will do the escalator, but I walk enough and I do enough leg days. I don't need no fucking stairs to boot. So, Corinne is like, no. So, I don't like to walk the strip. So, outside of the Four Seasons is a hotel that's at the top of the Mandalay Bay. Around the pools is this big lap. And if you walk it three times, it's a mile. I have calculated it. So I either walk there, or one of the other things that I do is the convention center. So in the winter, when it's really cold out, or in the summer, when it's too fucking hot, I go to the convention center and I go to a floor where I can make a big lap and just walk on carpet in the air conditioning. And I put my earbuds in and I walk. Those who won't will do. So I make a protocol that talks about here's how I'm going to move on vacation. And then the other thing that I do for my vacation when I go to Vegas is I have a drinking protocol. I decide ahead of time drinks I will have and drinks I won't have. So nowadays, I only drink vodka or tequila. And I'm only going to do like that and club soda. Or like if I do tequila, we'll just do a shot of tequila. If I am doing vodka, we usually do a flavored vodka, and I can either have my flavored vodka in club soda, or we just do a shot of vodka. That's it. I'm not drinking a bunch. And I do have Malibu and Diet. I will have Malibu and Diet sometimes. It's like, is my sip and drink. So I know what I'm going to be drinking. I also know when I'm going to be drinking. I make a promise to myself every single time. I can start drinking at, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever. I just have to write down when I start and when the last drink is. So when I go to Vegas, I have a pretty good idea of what I will and won't do. So like I don't do bread baskets. If we go out to eat or we order room service, they're always like, would you like us to bring bread? I just always say like, no, thank you. For me, bread baskets are not worth it. If I'm going out to eat, guess what I want to eat? A good fucking entree or whatever. I don't want to be wasting my body's like space. Like what gets behind the velvet rope is not what's going to be in the free bread. The free shit they bring to the table. I'm just going to tell you, this is one of the things that I decided a long time ago. When restaurants bring you something free to the table, it is because it is cheap for them. So they are giving you the cheapest food possible. They are not giving you something that's going to Like restaurants have a very slim profit margin, very, very slim. So I promise you, as a restaurant owner, that a restaurant is never giving you food that is high quality for free. They just don't. So I don't do those things. I also, my protocol always says when I'm on vacation or I'm on trips or even like going out to eat is you can drink or have dessert, appetizer or dessert. Like I always think about there's no reason why I need an appetizer. Like I do not need free food, then an appetizer, then a dinner and a dessert plus booze. I just don't. Now some of you may want to do all that. So your protocol is going to be like all of that's on the table, but I've got to share. I need to put it on a small plate. Like you just want to be thinking about these little things. There are so many things that we can actually decide ahead of time. And the reason why we do it is because when you decide things ahead of time, whether that's on your 24-hour plan or you're using a protocol for like these extra special occasions that always pop up and you might not make a 24-hour plan, is that when you make decisions ahead of time, number one, your brain at the moment of impact is prepared a little bit. So without any plan, you have no protocol, you have no 24-hour plan, you have decided that in the moment you're placed in a situation to eat, your brain must rely now on automatic thinking first. So whatever it is you already believe about food, whatever it is you think about food, all of those things, you're saying like, with no plan, I'm going to rely on how my old shitty, negative, likely negative, old programming, it gets the loudest say in the room. Because most of the time, our brain is just working on autopilot. Like if we want to actually decide in the moment, we have to turn that part of our brain on. So without any kind of plan, you have no hope but to rely on whatever your self-esteem says, whatever your diet rules say, whatever your programming is, you're saying like, you're the boss of me. You're the one who gets to say. So, like, if you think you can't lose weight and you don't create 24-hour plans and you don't create protocols and you get dropped into a situation with food, guess what? Your brain's like, oh, see, I knew you couldn't lose weight. Here we are at grandma's again. Here we are on vacation again. Here we are on our period again. Here we are at a bad day again. Here we are at whatever it is. You have just handed over all your power and all your control over to that part of your brain that you tell me all the damn time. I just wish I could be a normal eater. I just wish blah, blah, blah. Stop fucking wishing and start writing some shit down. That part of your brain ain't going to change without you helping it. You not making plans, you not making some protocols and thinking about things, you are not actively changing your mind. And it's not going to just happen because you keep listening to some shit I say. Like all of you who are sitting here right now, the 400 and something of you on this call, and all of the thousands of you that will end up listening to this, hear my words right now. You mark this shit down. I can't listen my way to weight loss. I cannot listen my way to weight loss. I got to do some of this shit Corinne says. And I got to quit whining that it's going to take time. A protocol will take you 10 fucking minutes. Not making a protocol will have you spending hours and hours and hours wondering why you can't get your shit together, wondering why you keep listening to crap and ain't nothing happening. So if you would like to stop wasting time and spend 10 minutes creating a protocol and see what happens. Just see what happens. A lot of you are like, well, what if it doesn't work? I'm like, well, what you doing ain't fucking working. So why do you care? Try things. I always believe in this. I teach you something, go try it. Then you get to decide if it works or not. And don't just try it once. Try 10 versions of it. 10 versions doesn't mean, well, I do the discovery worksheet. I mean, I am overeating every night and I write down the same shit every day, but I never change every day. I don't understand what's going on, Corinne. I understand what's going on. You writing the same shit down every day thinking you'd be doing something. You ain't doing jack shit. If you do a discovery worksheet and you do the same fucking behavior again, try something new. Do another discovery worksheet and push yourself to be like, maybe that wasn't the answer. So I wonder why I might be doing this. I wonder what else I could try. And if you don't fucking know, how about you get your ass up into some Facebook, ask you a damn question. You can even turn on anonymous if you're so worried that the world might see you asking a question, or take your ass over to Ask Coaches. We got so many opportunities for y'all to get some help and to be anonymous. It is unreal. If you want to lose weight, here's another big clue. You're going to have to get over yourself sometimes. You want to be ashamed to ask a question, or you be ashamed that you ain't doing shit, or that this ain't working. Which shame you want? I'm always like, if I'm going to feel like shit no matter what, I am for sure going to feel like shit doing something that'll help my ass. I'd much rather have shame over asking questions and trying things and stuff not working. I'd rather be disappointed at my that the things I'm trying aren't working than to be disappointed myself because I ain't doing shit. I and y'all gotta hear me on this. I get so passionate about this because the number one reason why so many of us ain't losing weight is because we just sit around wanting, not doing. And what y'all think you gotta do is like insane. Four fucking basics, y'all. Am I hungry? If I'm not, don't eat. Wait, even if it means your skin's crawling out off of you. Then at least in that moment you can say, like, why am I so miserable about not eating when I know I'm not fucking hungry? That's an answer where all the weight loss gold hides. And if you don't know, take guesses or go to Ask Coaches and let us help you. Wait, and like stop it enough. Even if it means it feels like your skin's burning completely off, like, oh God, I got the anxiety. Oh God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't care if you sweat like a hoe in church. Sweat it out and ask yourself, God, all I'm doing is stopping at enough. Seems like I shouldn't be fucking freaking out. Now, don't shame yourself over freaking out. Get curious. Be like, man, this really seems like a mismatch in feelings. All I'm doing is leaving four bites of steak on the plate. All I'm doing is not eating chips when I go to bed. All I'm doing is not having that ice cream because everybody else is. On the inside, I'm over here like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Something seems amiss. I wonder why. Your brain will tell you, well, it's not fair, or it'll tell you everything that you need to know. But you work so hard, you never get downtime. This is the only time for you. That's called valuable information. That's not something wrong with you, but we got to know this because then your body can say, like, well, the real problem is, bitch, is you just keep telling everybody and your mama yes, and you ain't telling you yes ever. I'm wore out. I need ice cream at night. You don't take care of me during the day. We want to know that because then we can actually give ourselves what we need. And it ain't at the bottom of the Ben and Jerry's. Your better life is not sitting at the bottom of that carton of ice cream. It ain't at the end of the chips. It ain't in the bread basket. It ain't in that third glass of wine. That is not where the best life is hiding. You are not gonna eat enough food to compensate for the shit that's going on underneath the surface. And that's why we like protocols, because for so many of you, you have these special situations and they come up. So I want all of you to do this for me. I want you to really think about What are the things when it comes to losing weight that I keep saying, if this wouldn't keep happening, it'd be so much easier to lose weight. And you make a list of those things. And I guarantee you, all, if not most of those things are just your life. There's probably some coaching we could do, but the majority of it is just things you need a protocol over to give yourself some guardrails. Because then what happens is like when you get that, so the first thing we got to do is we just got to know these situations. Then we can make that plan. Like, this is how I want to show up and stuff. And then the last thing is you end up giving yourself an opportunity. So remember when I was talking way back before I got off on my big rant. Like the first thing is without a protocol or without a 24-hour plan, you are leaving it to your automatic self, current level of self-esteem, thoughts run your eating show. When you have a protocol and you have a 24-hour plan, you have now put into part of your psyche a second option. That means that over time, your brain will get used to being, do you want to do this or that? Right now, so many of you, this is what most of you tell me when you come on coaching calls. It's like, I just don't want my brain to offer this anymore. Okay, I get that. But that's not what most humans are going to be able to accomplish. It's very rare that I hear anyone ever say, all of that thinking just went away. I never think those things anymore. What I hear most people say is the first phase is when I hear this thought, I now also hear this voice. And then all I have to do is now start choosing between two options. So many of you feel hopeless and helpless because your brain really only offers up one. It's like, well, the last time I was on vacation, I ate like an asshole. So then you go on vacation and it just wants to eat like an asshole because we didn't really do a lot of planning for it. We didn't really think about it. We didn't think about what foods are going to be worth it, what foods aren't going to be worth it, what situations might be tough and what I can do about it, what meals can I predict? What things do I need? Do I need to have snacks just in case we're on some? Like, I know very often I rarely snack ever. But when we travel, I keep snacks in my bag because number one, I'm just cheap as a motherfucker. I hate paying airline or airplane prices. Like, airport, that is the biggest ripoff I've ever seen. Dear Lord, you can go broke in the airport just trying to get like a fucking bag of chips. So, I almost always carry snacks because I don't want to pay the prices and I don't want to get stuck on airplanes. Like, especially me, I have been stranded bad in the past. I had a trip a few years ago. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. It was pre-pandemic. I got stuck. I was coming from Sacramento. And we had a layover in Vegas. And while we were in Vegas, Southwest had a computer outage nationwide. And then I got stuck there 2 days by myself with no clothes, no bag, no nothing. And for 11 hours, I was in the airport trying to figure out, was I getting home that day? Luckily, I had snacks in my bag that carried me through the entire day until I found out I wasn't getting nowhere for 2 days. So I carry those things. So you just have to be thinking about stuff because what you want is in these situations, like when you hit your period, when you're invited out for a party, a last minute, when, everybody's going to get together and go to the boat dock and have drinks at that restaurant, whatever it is, all these last minute things, these are not new. Stop telling yourself, I could lose weight if it wasn't for these things, and start telling yourself, I need to create protocols because this is my life. These things are going to happen. And then when the moment of impact happens, at least I've got options. Now, y'all are naturally taking the conversation to, I make a protocol, but I don't want to follow it. You do need to ask why. Here are some common reasons why we don't want to follow a protocol. They're not realistic. A lot of times you want to go on vacation to rest, relax, connect. You do want to eat some good food and stuff. And then when I look at your protocols, they look like you're going to a fucking, I don't know, monastery for a 8-day water fast. It's like, what the fuck are we even doing here? Sometimes the protocols are just not realistic. Dumb them down. Make a protocol you can stick to so that you get used to your brain getting the reward of following through. Sometimes your protocol, it's like what we did this a few months ago. We had the not good enough challenge. If you have a protocol, you need to like do a gut check. Is this actually something I want to do and could get myself to be willing to do in the moment? Or is this fantasy land? This is something I think I should do, and I'm afraid to make a different protocol for fear I won't be able to lose weight. Here's a breaking news alert. If you're creating a fantasy land protocol because your fear is if I don't follow it, I can't lose weight, but the fantasy land protocol just leads you to eating like a jackass because you don't want to follow it, you're not going to somehow like, well, if I make this protocol for the 152nd time, exactly the same way that I have every other time, I bet I'll miraculously want to do it. That's not happening. You have got to come up with like, all right, I got to get one made in my reality. So you can always ask yourself, what would my protocol look like if I wasn't afraid it would cause me to gain weight? Make that one and see what happens. There could just be also for some people, you might say, no, mine's pretty fucking realistic, Corinne. I have listened to you. I have learned my lessons. I really understand. But when it comes time to doing my plan or my protocol, I just don't want to. It's like I want to rebel. I just want to throw it away. My brain just overreacts. If you can sit and look at it with me right now and say like, I really, really think I should be able to do this. Like it feels really good to me right now. When I'm in my right mind, my reasoning brain is on. Then probably what's happening is it's past diet trauma now. It's your brain being afraid that whatever you're following is going to be too harsh. It's going to remind it of times in the past where you didn't have fun on vacations, where you were over dieting and doing all this. So the way I always like to explain it is your protocol or your 24-hour plan, we know when we are sitting here talking about it that it's not like dieting. But when you're in the moment, it smells and looks like it to your habit brain. So your habit brain is having an overreaction. If that's you, then you have to have the plan for, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to not want to do it. So probably for a few times, maybe 3 or 4, maybe even just 2, I'm going to do it anyway, convinced I won't have fun, convinced that it's going to suck, convinced of all these fears and worries. And I'm just going to tell myself, I know that's what I'm thinking, but the truth is I don't really know. I'm going to have to actually try it. I got to see how bad it is. And maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised that it won't be that bad. So what we do in this situation is we actually make ourselves follow it. Like we're going to sacrifice one meal out to see what happens. And then we get to decide after, was it as bad as we thought it was? Could it have been better than we thought? Then we get to form our opinion. And then that opinion, when it your brain has experience following it, now it has something new to think about the next time. It's like, oh, that was not nearly as bad as I thought. In fact, today I feel better. In fact, I remember having a good time while I was doing it. I mean, there was some moments where I was just like, oh, this is miserable and stuff. But that was mainly because I just thought I wasn't going to have a good time. And it come to find out, I actually had a better time than I thought I could. And so then your brain gets to experience a good memory with it. Because right now, it's only having a really shitty outlook on it. And it thinks that's what's going to happen. So it feels very real to your brain. So then when you have like a positive experience with it, now your brain has an opportunity to have another story the next time. So the next time, it still may be scared. It still may send up some shitty thoughts and stuff. But you can also say, but last time it wasn't as bad as we thought. Let's go again and let's just see what happens again. Maybe it'll be like last time. You're giving your brain new experiences with your protocols. You're giving your brain new experiences with things. And then before you know it, your brain will then be able to access some new thoughts for you to give you that fork in the road. Okay. Looks like we might be having a little bit of problems with the Ultimate Summer Guide link. I'm sure Lizzie will check on that for everybody. So don't worry about it. We'll get it fixed. Sometimes the internet world does not behave properly. All right, let's see if there's anything else I wanted to call, bring attention. Well, let's answer some questions because I think I covered everything I wanted to. How do we, in the moment of the sad, difficult, unexpected, hard conversations, news, or relationship situations, do we find other ways to deal with these rather than overeating? We aren't going to say, wait, let me take out my journal. How do we practice ahead of time, learn to flex our emotional brain muscle? Lisa, you will want to go and listen to Kathy Hartman did a call last month. We're going to have more of these calls, but it's basically how do you handle those things in the moment? Because the main thing is in those moments, no, you're not going to journal. In the moment, what we want to do is we want to have ways that we can settle our nervous system down first. That's the way, like we're eating as a way to settle our nervous system down. So you're eating as a way to like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling anxious. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling sad. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling, you know, whatever. So you're eating to be like, all right, like for some people, eating, just the act of chewing, they get into a rhythm, they do something rhythmic, or they're doing something with their hands, it's burning off some of that cortisol, it's burning off some of those things. That's one of the reasons why we eat. So knowing that and having other things to do in that moment allows you to get the same type of help. So we don't want, like when you're having like an unexpected, stressful situation and stuff, we don't want to be doing thought work during that moment. We're not trying to sit there and be like, oh my gosh, I need to have better thoughts right now. It's like, no, what I really need to do in this moment is take care of my emotional needs. So if you watch some of Kathy's calls on that, that will give you some tools. My main one is whenever, like I know that if something really bad has happened, the first thing I do is put that hand over my heart and I tell myself, you are safe. Because, and let me just say, I like doing that. And I repeat, you're safe. I take deep breaths. I try to take deep breaths like I'll breathe in for two, out for two. Because I want you to think about chewing is rhythmic for a lot of us. So if I put my hand over my heart, I'm giving my hand something to do. I also keep a lot of Theraputty around. I have it all over the place. But if you notice a lot of my calls, I use Theraputty. Because what it does is like sometimes when I'm on calls, I get a little anxious. Like somebody will bring something to me and I'll be like, oh gosh, this is like really serious. Like my brain likes to flip out too, even though I'm a coach. And when I'm playing with my putty, it just helps keep my nervous system in check. But then if I'm doing this and I'm breathing, I'm not trying to change my attitude about it. Most of the time, I don't want to change my attitude for a while, but I just want to make sure that I'm giving myself other ways to calm myself. So I do that when I'm safe, because I'm safe works almost all the way across the board. Because if you think about it, it's very rare something happens where you're not actually safe. Most of the time, we have what we call mental unsafety, but we're not actually physically in danger. But our brain takes unexpected situations, big news, things like just any kind of disruption in your schedule. Your brain treats all of that exactly the same as if someone's coming after you with a chainsaw. It does not know the difference with emotions. It doesn't know, like, are you in mortal danger or are you just in egotistical danger? You're just worried someone will think something about you. You're just worried this thing won't work out. You're just worried that you won't get what you want. You're just worried your kid won't get what they want. You're just worried that everybody will make fun of them. Everybody will make fun of me. All of that is what we call, like, the ego danger. And that just means, like, my mindset and my emotional state feels in danger, but my physical body is not. And then this is the thing. If somebody is coming after you with a chainsaw, a butcher knife, or any other kind of like impending mortal doom, we want to panic. I guarantee you that if somebody comes at you with a gun, a knife, or a chainsaw, you're not going to be like, wait a minute. I need to go eat some chips. Notice how, like, when we're in actual mortal danger, trying to find something to eat is the last thing we think about. We're like, get the fuck out of here. Call 911. Like, we don't want to be trying to calm ourselves down. We also don't want to be running to the refrigerator because there ain't no help coming in the refrigerator. So just think about, like, okay, I am safe. I just feel really rocked. I just feel really bad. I'm just worried about something. I'm just scared of something, but I'm physically okay. That is an easy one to do. My cats, I swear to God, if y'all could just see the circus that's going on. I got one taking a poop right outside my door. We had to put a cat box out there because they can't stand to use the cat box in the room we designed. They have to have one right outside my office. And they go in there and blow it up every time I'm on a call. The other one is running in circles over here. Why is it so much easier to follow a protocol or plan while I'm in a season of successful weight loss? Well, that's very simple. Your brain, when you're in the season of success, your brain's not thinking about problems. When you're in a season where things are hard, your brain's thinking about problems. It just turns on for what it turns on. That's not like a huge, like don't be shocked at that. It's like, yeah, those times are when it's easier. It's harder when your nerves are jacked up and stuff. That's why in No BS we do a lot of teaching on, like, here's how we're thinking about things. Like, when we talk about coaching, I don't want to just coach y'all on, like, I don't know why I'm not stopping at enough. I don't know why I'm not making a 24-hour plan. I don't know why this guy went up a pound this week. But that's some bullshit. I want to coach y'all on what's happening in your fucking life that's making you want to eat, that makes you not want to stop it enough. So when you have things going on in your life that could be stressful, then it is harder to follow those plans because your brain wants immediate relief from your problems. And food is a grand distraction. It provides immediate relief. That's why it's so much easier to break plans during that time. But then, when we really work on what's going on underneath, then we get to feel better about our life. And when we feel better about our life, guess what? It is easier to stick to our plans and stuff. What can I tell my brain when it overreacts to a protocol and wants to rebel against it because it smells like a diet? It's not a diet. That's literally all you have to do. You just have to tell yourself, like, I understand you think this is like it was, but I actually made this plan to not diet. I actually made this plan because this is how I want to eat. Because a lot of times we say, like, ugh, I made a protocol. I guess I have to follow it. It's like, no, you don't have to follow it. You have broken plenty plans all your life. You have quit many of things. You don't have to do jack shit. But there was a version of you who really wanted to do this, who had great reasons to do it. You don't even have to give yourself the reasons, but you can trust that the person who made the plan, you can say like the version of us that made the plan knew we would struggle and made a plan that accommodated struggles. The version of us who made this plan wants to do this. There's a lot like your past self and your future self really want you to do this. You're just not feeling it right now, and that's okay. That's a lot of things I tell myself. If I only allow myself to have certain foods in situations, not just at random times, is that a protocol? Example, I don't buy cheer wine at the store. I only have it at a restaurant and that has it in the soda fountain. It's rare. I only buy pork rinds at the gas station for car trips. That's kind of like a protocol. It's like having a protocol for some of your favorite foods. I mean, I wouldn't overthink it too much, but I think those are great strategies. You know, it's just like me. We don't drink at home. We used to a long time ago, never drink at home. And I have so much booze. I don't know why, but people give us booze all the fucking time. It's like everybody's favorite gift, Corinne. And but none of them know it, but most of the time we end up giving away a lot of it. Like if my team comes down, I'm like, y'all drink some of this alcohol if you want it. Like, don't go out. You might as well dip in. So having like different things. Like I don't keep a lot of ice cream at home because I really like blizzards and sonic blasts and stuff. So for me, it's like when I really want ice cream, I want to go and get something. If I want to drink, I really thought about my drinking. I'm like, I don't love drinking at home. I really like being at a place where there's a bartender, where I can just sit and relax and talk to Chris. I can dress up a little bit. Like, I like the whole, like the courtship around it more than just the alcohol. And so I just decided a long time ago, I was like, man, sitting around in my pajamas drinking, it for me wasn't that fun. And some people are right the opposite. It's like, I'd rather sit around in my pajamas and drink and not have to get dressed up. And they just don't drink when they go out. So it's really about what you like. But I think those are fine. I'm on a weight loss drug and doable hunger is good. Drinking is where I'm slipping. I plan on making a vacation protocol. Can you please talk again about how you got to your drinking goal, please? It was real simple. I just started with years ago, I decided I was going to drink from this time to this time because we used to drink a lot heavier than we do now. And I will just say one of the reasons why I don't drink as heavy anymore is I just like at this age, I got tired of feeling like shit. Like I literally wrote all, like every time I'd have a hangover, I would write about here's everything I'm missing out on today because I decided to drink last night. Here's everything that I don't like about today because I decided to drink decided to drink last night. I stopped telling myself, it's okay, you had a good time and stuff like that. I was like, look, I already know, like sometimes drinking, I'm having a good time. Like I whatever. But I didn't need to remind myself of that anymore. What I needed to do, though, in order to get to a place with alcohol that I really loved, was I had to start really shining a light on the downsides because I was sweeping a lot of that under the rug. Like I knew I wanted to drink less, but I just kept thinking about, but this is how we connect. But this is how I have a good time. Like all I did was tell one story. And so I decided I've got to tell a new story if I really want to give myself a choice. So for me, before I really even changed anything, I just was like, okay. Like I remember when I first started, I was like, and I'm not joking, I could have like 7 glasses of wine. I had to pick numbers that were just crazy pants. And then sometimes I drink 7, sometimes I would drink 5, sometimes I'd only drink 3. But every time I would say, like, all right, this is how much like I would give myself like because I would never drink more than 7. Like if I drink more than 7, y'all'd have to bury me. So right now, if I drink more than 1 glass of wine, y'all have to bury me now. That's how like my tolerance has dropped. But I started with something just like ridiculous, kind of where I was at. And I was like, well, this is where we have to start. And then every day after, I would do a big long journal entry on this is what it's really like. Like, I woke up this morning, I couldn't work out. I got sick last night, or Chris and I got into an argument because I was too buzzed. We had to take an Uber home. We were both drinking, so we ended up having to take an Uber. Now today, Chris has got to take me back up there. I got to get my car and hope that no one broke into it. Like, I really went through all of the stuff that alcohol was now costing me instead of thinking about what I was afraid to let go of. I already knew that stuff intimately. And then when I did that, it started making it like giving me the courage to start dialing some stuff back. So then I started making drink plans that were just like one. And a drink plan is literally just like a protocol. It's just like doing your 24-hour plan. You're just going to tell how many drinks you're going to have. Then I kept doing the journaling. I kept, lowering it a little bit. And then I started making some plans around like, well, if I'm not going to drink as much, how am I going to continue to have a good time? Like, what am I going to do if I'm not drinking as much? And a lot of times it was like, all right, then I'm going to start having water in between. And like, I will, like, one of the things that I did was I started, one of the big ones was I'm going to go and the first 20 to 30 minutes of date night, I'm not going to drink at all. I'm going to be, drinking water, knowing that I can have a drink in 30 minutes. And so that I could get used to, I would have like this, like the safety in my head, like you get to have a drink in 30 minutes, but for the first 30 minutes, let's just see what it's like to not drink. I did that a few times. And then next thing I knew, we had a couple of dates where I ended up not drinking at all because I just kept delaying it. And I was like, I never really thought I would be able to sit there and it not annoy me, but I guess that's wrong. Doesn't mean I don't ever have to drink again, but it is possible to have a good time without it. And then when on vacations, I just started like first with, here's the drinks I will have. I can start drinking at this time, but I definitely want to stop drinking at this time, no matter what's going on. So a lot of times it was just in a window. Sometimes on vacations, like to this day, what I normally do is have like a window of when I'm going to drink based on what we're doing for the day. And then when I'm on vacation each day, I kind of just check in with myself and ask, like, how many drinks do you really want to have today during the window? And then I just kind of go by that. All right. That is it for today. I have actually got to do the baby call today. The newbies, they have their own little group, and I got to go there and do Q&A because our lovely, luscious MJ is on vacation this week. So I'm holding down the fort. So let me get logged in over there. Y'all have an amazing week. I will see everybody on Sunday for coaching. Make sure you come, tell your friends. If you got a lot of value out of this call, make sure you talk about it in the Facebook group so that everybody knows on and say, like, I got a lot of value out of this call. This is what I learned. And please do me a favor and just add this. The replay will be available on Friday because one of the things that people always ask when y'all post stuff is like, where can I find this call? Just go ahead and put in your post. The replay will drop on Friday. Make sure you listen. All right. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.